But I know you're glad that it did. Exceedingly, abundantly,
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
I should just put verse 7 up there. I'd like you to put verse 1 through 7. Oh, there it go. Verse 1 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Verse 2. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we ran not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you or us." Go ahead. "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are also dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Praise God. You may be seated. On the first Sunday, we talked about the fact that living a disciplined life, and we provided the description of a disciplined life. We said that a disciplined life had a particular mind. In other words, it was the mind of Christ. A disciplined life had the mark of militancy. In other words, when it says arm yourself, this was a form of spiritual warfare. A disciplined mind has a sharp meaning. The sharp meaning was that it was a change from the way that we used to, that the way that we should live. It was a digression. It was a sharp contrast, a difference. In other words, we no longer live to satisfy our own human flesh, but we live, praise God, to do the will of God. And I believe finally we said that a disciplined life, in the description of it, is a life that is often misunderstood. We talked about the fact that, praise God, once we gave our lives to Christ, those friends, those family members, those folks that were around us, they looked at us as though we were strangers. They called us strange. They said some things about us. They called us holy rollers. They called us holier than thou. They even ridiculed us as to why we would spend so much time, praise God, in church. Why do we spend so much time in Bible study and all that? They would look at us as strange. So it was but a disciplined life is a life that's often misunderstood. And then after that, we talked about the directions for a disciplined life. And that came from Luke chapter 9. The description came from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And then we say that directions for life come for a disciplined life come from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And I believe I presented you all with four D's. I wanted to make sure I go over this because I know there are some people who are writing those down. The first direction, I said, we got the compass point north, south, east, west. And so I sorted, labeled each one of those and the direction of a compass. This is showing us direction. So when you want to talk about the directions for a disciplined life, first thing you got to do is denial. That's the one that's pointing north. Amen. The second one, D, is death. In other words, we must, praise God, take up our cross. When we see take up the cross mean that we got to put something to death. Praise God. Those old ways that we used to have. Praise God. And the third direction was daily. It was going east. I said, this is a daily walk. Praise God. This is not just on Saturday. This is not just on Sunday. This is not just on Monday. Praise God. This walk that we walk as a believer, if we want to be a disciplined believer, it's an everyday affair. Praise God. And the last one, idea I talked about was devotion, because He said, follow me. In other words, Jesus, we have to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Praise God, every day of our life. See, men have for so many years, have had the tendency to want to do their own thing. So He's telling us now, praise God, it's no longer you doing your own thing, but praise God, you have to do the will of our Father, and you'll do the will of Jesus. We have to follow Him. We have to give our devotion to Him. And finally, praise God, I put some things down from both of those texts. It's going to sound sort of redundant, but I believe we need to say it in order for us to really get the flavor of what we're trying to talk about. Yeah. Amen. And talk about living a disciplined life. Yeah. I jotted down 13 things here. I could have went on about 15. But I said I was going to do 13. I won't do all 13 of them today. I'm going to try to do about 7 of them, and I'll finish up the rest of them on next week. Amen. But praise God, when we start talking about this third D, this is dimensions of a disciplined life. Dimension just means how do you measure something. Amen. Praise God. And if somebody were to measure your life, look at your life, would your life measure up to being a life that's a disciplined life? Yeah. Amen. I can't answer that question for you. Yeah. You can't answer that question for me. But praise God, let me just give you some things, amen, that I have jotted down here that talked about the dimensions of a disciplined life. The very first thing, a disciplined life, you can tell a disciplined life by a disciplined mind and thought life. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. You must have a disciplined mind and thought life. Praise God. You see, you can tell a disciplined believer by what comes from his or her heart. Amen. Oh, boy. Amen. I tell you what. I don't get some amen. We might be here until 5 o'clock. Y'all won't get a chance to see the Saints game. So if y'all want me to hurry up and get out of here, say amen a little louder. Your mind, you have to have a disciplined mind. You got to have a disciplined thought life. Praise God. Look what Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 on the board. This is Proverbs was written by the wisest man in the world. Solomon wrote this. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. Amen. There was only one person wiser than Solomon. Amen. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. Solomon was the one. Look what Solomon says. We're talking about Solomon says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You want to know what's in a person's heart? Stay around them and find out what come out of their mouth. Stay around them and find out what's come out of their mind. But a disciplined believer is going to feed their mind. They're going to feed their thought process on the things of God. They don't have time to be around a whole lot of jibber-jabbing and a whole lot of foolishness. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jenkins. She took the word right out of my mouth. That's why Paul, when he was writing to his spiritual son, not to that same church, excuse me, Philippian church. Put Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 on there. Look what Paul said. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, praise God, and became obedient unto the cross. Obedient even until the death of the cross. In other words, Jesus, praise God, humbled himself. Amen. Jesus had the mind of God. We are born again believers. We are Christian. We ought to take on the mind of Christ. And if we are to be disciplined, and then we take on the mind of Christ, nobody would be able to move us with foolishness.
Amen.
She's saying it loud. She want to make sure I move on. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So when we talking about a dimension, somebody looking at your life, they're trying to measure what your life should be like. They're going to measure it by what comes out of your mind, what comes out of your heart. Seeing what comes out of your heart. You can't fool folk with that. Yes. Secondly, I say I'm only going to do 6 today. 7. You can tell by a disciplined attitude. Yes,
I know you all have ran across some of them believers who have some bad attitudes.
So we talk about living a disciplined life. So you got to bring that attitude. Let me ask this question. Did Jesus have a bad attitude? Can anybody ever accuse Jesus of having a bad attitude? Never. I go through scripture, Brother Steve, I go through scripture, and I only saw one time where Jesus got mad. Yeah, because some folks were doing some things in church that they weren't supposed to do. They were in church, and they were selling all kind of stuff and all that. They tell me that he took a cord and whipped them out of there. He said, because y'all have taken the house of my God and make it unto a den of thieves. Only time I've ever saw him mad. Jesus had a great attitude. And if we were to take and look at, we're not going to read through all of them, because if I do that, we'll be here until 3 o'clock for sure. Go back home and read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 12. Y'all know it. That's the Beatitudes. And Jesus gives us 8 qualities in that beatitude. Amen. Somebody going to say, well, Pastor, you got that wrong, because there are 9 beatitudes. I normally take verse 10 and 11, put them together, because the verse 10 and 11 is talking about persecution. And he's just telling, blessed are those who are persecuted and all that stuff like that. But praise God.
God. He gives us 8 qualities that will make our life meaningful and full of divine blessing. He talks every day when he started by saying blessed. In other words, happy. You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Praise God. Be meek. Amen. Third one. By discipline time. Somebody going to say, what in the world? Where is the pastor going with that? You have to have a discipline time. None of us in here today know exactly how much time we have to live. The psalmist gives us an idea. Put Psalm 90, verse 10 up on that board. Look what Psalms 90, verse 10 says. He says, the days of our years are 80. A score is 20 years and 10. That's 70 years. Y'all, I just made 70 in November.
Amen.
And he said, and if by reason of strength they be 80. 80 mean that's 80 years. So he gives us an idea of how much time we're going to have. But a disciplined believer is going to take and make use of the time that they have. They're going to take time in prayer. They're going to take time in studying the word of God. They're going to take time in witnessing for God, etc., etc., etc. Because if you continue to read in that 90th Psalm down to verse 12, look what he says. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what? Wisdom. In other words, we need to be wise with the time that he has given us. And a disciplined believer, a disciplined, living a disciplined life, we will take in account to the time that we have. Number 4, we know by, you can measure that life by disciplined worship. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. There's a thing called disciplined worship. God gives us 6 days in the week to work and to do what we need to do. God expects us to worship him. Man was created to worship God. Somebody said, well, you proved that to me. God, we were created to worship God. Turn to Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses has given instructions to the children of Israel. Praise God. He was reminding them, praise God, y'all not supposed to be doing this, not supposed to do that. Look what he says in verse 14. Of chapter 34. He said, for thou shalt worship no other God. And that's a little g. Then he goes on. He said, for the Lord is a what?
Jealous.
He's a jealous God. We got too many things that we have made gods out of. Amen. These little gods. I'm not going to name all of them. I won't name any of them. Find out the thing that you is making your God. What is it that's keeping you from worshiping God? What is it? Is it your car? Is it your job? Is it your significant other? What is it that you have put before God? Is it your career? Is it disciplined worship. Disciplined worship will take time to worship God of creation, because they are so glad that God made them. They're so glad for all of the things that God did for them. They're going to work hard those 6 days, praise God, but they're going to find sometime where they can give God some worship. And let me tell you something, there's nothing like worshiping God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Y'all know that scripture. Y'all should know it by heart. He said, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as manner of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I like the way the New Living Translation translates that verse. Look how the New Living Translation translates that. It says, let us not neglect our meeting together. In other words, say, don't neglect meeting together. I learned from you. You learned from me. I may be going through something that you may be getting ready to go through. And praise God, if you sit down and talk to me, praise God, it's going to give you some strength to see how God brought me through it. And praise God, it'll give you the strength to go through it. Look what the NIV, the New Language, the New Living Translation says. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing nigh. So a disciplined believer, praise God, will have disciplined worship. Number five. You can tell them by a disciplined Bible study. And look, that doesn't just mean coming to Bible study here at church on Wednesday night. No, don't misconstrue that to mean that. I'm talking about you studying your own Bible. God didn't give you. I can go to everybody's house, pray, got them. They got cell phones. They got all of these. They got tablets. They got everything. All of them got free Bibles on them. Praise God. You need to take it out and read it sometime. That's all that's saying. I know good and well everybody can't come out here on a Wednesday night. I know good and well everybody can't come out here on a Tuesday night. I know that. Praise the name of the Lord. But I thank God for those who do come. Amen. Amen. So a disciplined believer is going to have some discipline about their study of the Word of God. They're going to read it. They're going to study it. They're going to memorize it, and guess what else? They're going to meditate upon it. You know why? Because the word does something for us. Let me go back to that wise man again. That man that was wiser. He was wiser than every man that ever walked the earth with the acceptance of Jesus. Put Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 up on that board. Look what Solomon writes. Solomon writes, my son, if thou will receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ears unto wisdom, and apply thy hearts to understanding. Yea, if thou cry after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasure, then shall thou understand, and then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord, praise God, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes what? Knowledge and understanding. It's important that we study the word. Told you for this year 2019, that's one thing we're gonna hop on. We're gonna get on the Word of God. We want to study it. We want to memorize it. We want to make sure that we meditate on the Word of God, because I know it's His Word. It's the way we live, we move, and that's how we have our own being. It's through His Word. Praise God. And Timothy told us, study to show thyself approved unto God. Am I right, Deacon Buckner? Praise God. Praise God. It said, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. How can you divide the word of truth if you don't know the word? But a disciplined folks who are not grounded in the Word of God are people who are more vulnerable to somebody coming with some type of cult, telling them something that may sound good to them. And they jump up and follow that kind of stuff. But praise God, we have to be disciplined. And it takes a disciplined Bible study. Number six, I believe, and I think I'm going to do six and seven. By disciplined prayer life. Somebody want to measure whether or not you are a disciplined believer. Man. Now look at your disciplined prayer life.
Man. Mm. I can go in five different directions with that. But the Holy Spirit tell me not to go there right now. Yeah. Praise God. Jesus was our example of somebody who was disciplined in prayer. How can I prove that? Jesus' disciples were with him. They watched him do all kinds of miracles.
Yes.
They watched him feed over 5,000 men with two fish and five loaves of bread.
Yes, sir.
They watched him raise Jairus' daughter from the grave.
Yes, sir.
They watched him take the widow of Nain's son.
Yeah.
They were on their way to the graveyard.
Yeah.
And awaken him back to life.
Yeah.
But guess what? His disciples never asked him, say, Lord, show us how to perform these miracles.
Yeah.
Lord, show us how you turn two fish and five loaves of bread to feed over 5,000 folk. You know what the thing that they did ask him? He said, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's what those disciples asked him. Teach us how to pray. So a disciplined believer is going to have a prayer life. We already talked about the fact that when we described a disciplined life, praise God, that it was one of a life that was of a militancy because they said arm ourselves. We say arm ourselves because we are in a spiritual warfare, folks.
Amen.
Ephesians lets us know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. Therefore, we got to put on what? The whole armor of God.